Chapter number 7 this evening, 2 Kings chapter number 7, and be looking at verses 1 and 2 for our lesson, our message this evening. And of course, we've been studying through the life of Elijah and now Elisha, and we've been studying the life of Elisha for a number of weeks now. As you may recall in our previous study, as you look at the end of 2 Kings chapter number 6, you find that the Syrians besieged Samaria. And the reality is, as you study the passage of Scripture, you would learn very quickly that the situation in Samaria is terrible. And the Syrians, if we would say from a military strategic perspective, they were successful in what they were attempting to do. They laid siege against the city, and they had a level of success in accomplishing what they wanted to accomplish. And the inhabitants of Samaria, as I mentioned last week, they were both hopeless and helpless. We remember how the Bible told us there in that passage of Scripture how there was no food, and how just the level of just a terrible situation with the cannibalism. And the king is informed of these things and how sad to hear of what is going on. And the circumstances that are described here at the end of 2 Kings chapter number 6 are really difficult, challenging for us to comprehend. And we find that the king was able to offer no success or no help through the situation. He was at wit's end, so to speak. We find that he came to this conclusion: we should kill Elisha. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but that was what he determined that he's going to do. And he sent some people over to kill Elisha. And we find that Elisha was aware of their coming and knew that their master, the king, would soon be behind. And you end the sixth chapter of the book of 2 Kings by dealing with this really correspondence, interaction, if you will, between these individuals. And Elisha is there. And we enter into 2 Kings chapter number 7, the passage in which we'll be studying this evening. Notice the Bible says in verse number 1, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said," this is Elisha now, says, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." If you're in the habit of taking notes, the title for the message this evening, A Prophecy of Provision. A Prophecy of Provision. As we mentioned, as you study the sixth chapter, you find that there is no provision. In fact, the Bible tells us that the unclean animal that is mentioned there in verse number 25, that the head of this animal was sold for 40 pieces of silver, the fourth part of a cap of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And you think about the destitute of the situation and really the desperation of the people as they turn to cannibalism and all these terrible things that are going on. And now the man of God stands and he delivers a prophecy of provision. Now, as we look at the passage of Scripture, just a couple of verses, but I want you to notice with me the confidence of the prophet. Oftentimes, as we've studied the life of Elijah and Elisha, we have noticed both the confidence and the courage by which they serve the Lord. I'm thankful for those that serve God with courage. I'm thankful for the message that was delivered to Joshua in Joshua chapter number 1 about being courageous and having courage to stand for the Lord. And we find that there are many characters, many Bible heroes, if we could use that terminology, that had great courage. In the face of adversity and opposition and difficulty, they stood in courage to serve the Lord. And here we see the confidence as we begin to study the prophecy that is given, a prophecy of provision. I see that not only does Elisha have courage, but I see a measure of confidence in what he says. You know, as I look here at the passage, I'd like to see Elisha standing with a level of boldness. I preached a message on Sunday evening, how that we're to pray for boldness, a prayer for boldness from Acts. and looking at those early disciples and early church leaders in the book of Acts and how they prayed for boldness and they spake with boldness. And here I envision Elisha standing, yes, in courage, but he stands to deliver a message with confidence. Notice he says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." He's very careful to make known to those that he's speaking to that this message is not his message. This is simply a message that he has been called to deliver, and it is a message from the Lord himself. Notice the content, if you will, of this prophecy. As we speak about the confidence that he has, we'll look at the content in just a moment, but notice what he says as he's standing here. He says, "Tomorrow, about this time," notice the word, "shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And so we see that he stands with confidence and he says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. I have a message to deliver." And he has confidence in what he's going to say. You notice at the end of verse number 2, when he responds to that servant that made that comment, he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it." See, Elisha had confidence in the message that he was delivering. He believed it. Can I tell you this evening that when we speak the oracles of God, when we speak the word of the Lord, that we can speak God's word with confidence. We can speak God's word with courage, and we see the confidence of the prophet. Notice the content of the prophecy. As we look at verse number 1, we find that the prophecy that is given is very specific. What a blessing to see the specific nature of these prophecies, and certainly you can see that throughout the Word of God. And here, very specific, he deals with the when. Notice he says, "Tomorrow." He does not just simply say, "At some point you're going to have food." No, he says, "Tomorrow." And again, he stood with a level of confidence, but then as we begin to examine the content of the prophecy, we see the specific nature of what he's going to say. He says, "Tomorrow about this time." And notice he deals with the when, but then he deals with what. What is it that's going to happen tomorrow about this time? He says specifically that a measure of fine flour would be sold for a shekel. A measure of fine flour for a shekel. Not only that, but two measures of barley for a shekel. Now, this is a very specific prophecy. We see the content as we begin to dig in, and we see that not only does he say when, but he says what it is that is going to happen. And then we see the where. He says, "In the gate of Samaria." And this is a prophecy of provision. The content of this prophecy is a powerful truth that is given. Remember, if we would understand the timing in which this prophecy is given and understanding the backdrop by which we've looked at in chapter number 6 and all of the challenges and difficulties that are presenting themselves here in this particular time, and we find that these were hungry people. These were people that were desperate. And here comes the man of God, the prophet, delivering a prophecy of provision, and he says, "Tomorrow, around this time, about this time," he says, "a measure of fine flour would be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel." Now, I want you to remember that that donkey's head was sold for four score pieces of silver. And now the man of God is saying that there's a measure of fine flour for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel. They would not, this prophecy of provision was one that was hard to be understood given the current circumstances. See, what happens at times, and we'll see it as we get into the next verse of Scripture, what happens at times in our lives is we have a difficulty believing the Word of God because we're too focused upon our circumstances or our situation. We begin to look at the circumstances by which we're living. In fact, there are some that would say this when you would inquire, "How are you?" or "How are things going?" and that sort of a normal greeting. Well, under the circumstances, we've all heard someone respond in that manner at some point in our lives. And the reality is that in times, the circumstances can have so much of our attention. We can be so focused on the things that we can see that it's hard for us to understand even what God has told us. And here the prophet of God, Elisha, the man of God, he stands in confidence and he delivers a specific message. We see the content of the prophecy. Now I want you to notice as we get into verse number 2, and really our third point, the place in which we'll spend the remainder of our time this evening, I want you to see the confusion. I've called this man a servant, the confusion of the servant. The Bible calls him, it says, then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God. And so there was this servant of the king that was standing there that was listening, and certainly there were a number of people that were gathered that heard this. Remember, Elisha was a man that was giving the truth. He was standing in courage and confidence, and it was that group of people that had come to the place where he was for the purpose of murdering him, of killing him. And Elisha says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. He delivers this prophecy of provision, and we find that this servant has a level of confusion, and he questions the prophecy. Notice what this one says. He says, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Now I believe that as this servant, this individual responds to Elisha, the content of his response reveals that he's really mocking Elisha. He doesn't believe what Elisha said for one moment of time. He says, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Scoffing and mocking at the very prophecy that Elisha had just given, a prophecy of provision. And we find that this man offers this suggestion. The thing that's interesting is in his mockery that we could see the statement that he makes, the reality is that God could do that. God could open windows in heaven. I mean, for 40 years he gave the children of Israel manna from heaven, right? The Lord spoke of it during his earthly ministry as he's speaking. You can read in John 6 and other portions where he speaks about manna that came from heaven. And God miraculously, supernaturally gave the children of Israel manna from heaven for those 40 years. And here, this one that would mock, he's looking at the circumstances. He's perhaps trying to figure this thing out. He says, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? See, I believe this evening this is a place where we need to learn a valuable lesson. Too often, I believe in my life and perhaps in your life as well, we're more concerned with the how than the who. See, we want to figure something out. Perhaps we have that analytical type of a mind and we want to be able to look at something and it makes sense to us. And we find that what Elisha says, this measure of fine flour to be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel, there's just absolutely no way, humanly speaking, that this is possible. And all I want to do is figure out how this is going to happen. And we see this servant that is here that's listening, and this one that begins to, I believe, mock and scoff at Elisha. He says, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? How's this going to happen, Elisha? I believe that Elisha wasn't really too concerned with the how. He just knew who. He just knew that God said. He just knew that he was delivering the word of the Lord, and he knew, remember, he prefaces what he says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. But Elisha, don't you know that the Syrians are out there? Elisha, don't you know that we have no food? There's nothing. Remember the king, he said when he was speaking with those ladies at the end of chapter 6 and verse 27, he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press? There was nothing. They had no substance. This siege that was laid against Samaria was successful. Nothing in, nothing out. And we find that what this prophecy contained was not so much about the how it was going to happen, but the who that was going to bring it to pass. And we find that there's a valuable lesson for us here this evening, for there are times in our lives where perhaps we read a portion of Scripture, we read some instruction from the Word of the Lord, and we say, how is that going to work? How is that going to happen? How is that? He's God. Elisha didn't have to be concerned about the Syrians that had surrounded the city. Elisha didn't have to be concerned about the fact that the storage facilities were empty, that there was nothing. All he had to be concerned about was that the Lord God Almighty had given His word. And God said, this is what's going to happen. And God had commissioned Elisha to deliver this message. And Elisha delivers the message. As we look to the Word of God and we look to the circumstances perhaps in our own lives and we think about various things that we could look to, and certainly the application would vary from person to person, from family to family, even region to region, as we would say that the Bible has so much contained therein and so many wonderful promises, that we go to the Word of God and maybe we're dealing with some particular struggle. We say, how can this thing be? Oh, we just need to trust God. We don't always need an explanation of how. We just need to believe God. See, the Bible teaches us that the just shall live by faith. The Bible teaches us that faith is the important aspect for every child of God. In fact, we'll be teaching through the book of Hebrews this year, and obviously we've there in the sixth chapter this past Sunday morning. Eventually we'll get to chapter number 11. And we find that chapter number 11 of Hebrews, often referred to as the Hall of Faith chapter, says in verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We find that the Bible tells us in verse number 6 of Hebrews 11, but without faith it is impossible to believe Him, for he that cometh to God, or excuse me, to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so if I want to please God, I got to live by faith. It is impossible to please Him without faith, according to Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. And so as we begin to look at this truth, this prophecy of provision there in 2 Kings chapter number 7, and we understand the circumstances in which the children of Israel are living, and we understand that they've been besieged by the Syrians, and they have nothing, and they've turned at least a number of them to this thing of cannibalism, and it's a terrible scene that has been set for us, and now the man of God delivers this prophecy of provision. How's it going to happen? You know, so often we ask the question, how? And really just need to be concerned with who. What did God say? Has God ever failed? No. He's never failed you, and He's not going to start. Our God is able. Our God has proven Himself over and over and over throughout the Word of God, as we could look at example after example. I think of the disciples, and I know we often use the example of the feeding of the 5,000, but I want you to consider the miracle for just a moment this evening, and I want you to consider as they're there and they have just a few pieces of provision, I mean just a few loaves, a couple of fish, and you find that they're there and they have all of these people, and they have the idea, like, let's send them away. I mean, the day is far spent. I mean, we don't have enough. Jesus tells them to give them to eat. How are we going to do it? 200 penny worth is not enough that each would just have a little, right? I mean, that's how? How are we going to do it? Jesus said, put them in companies of 50 and let's give them to eat. How? No. Who? Jesus said it was going to happen. He's God. You don't have to worry about how it's going to happen, because He, God, said it would. And if you read through the passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us that Jesus prayed and He broke that bread. And it's an amazing truth to me. And I hope that it just would capture our mind this evening, the way that those disciples would go and they would distribute and they would come back to Jesus and get more substance to go to deliver to another group. And He'd go and He would they would distribute that substance and they would come back to Jesus. And every time they came back, they found that there was more to be delivered. Why? Because He's God. Because He's God. And it's interesting, that in our lives, as much as we know about God, I mean, we have the complete canon of Scripture. We can read account after account after account. In fact, most of us, many of us, could stand up and speak about some of the great stories, quote-unquote, accounts of the Bible. We could speak about the great victories that God wrought. We could speak about the provision and the protection, and we could speak about David and Goliath and David and a number of events in his life, and we could speak about Daniel, and I mean so many, Gideon and Joshua. We're studying through the book of Joshua even now during this time, and we could look at so many examples. But at times in our own lives, when the circumstances seem to be overwhelming and they have our attention, we say, how? How's this going to happen? How's this going to work? How's this going to come to pass? All the while forgetting to take into consideration that God said it. And if God said it, that settles it. Bumper stickers used to exist, and I'm not sure, I've not seen this particular bumper sticker in quite a while, but I remember seeing it years ago. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I've often said, whether you believe it or not doesn't have any part of the equation. God said it, and that settles it. And it's a good thing if you believe what God said, but whether you believe or do not believe, it doesn't change what God said, and what God said settles the matter. And God said, through the prophet Elisha, that this provision would be made available. He told him when, he told him what, and he told him where. I noticed that at the end of verse number 2, as we find that Elisha then responds, and it seems to me quite obvious that in the response of Elisha, we understand that this servant came with a level of mockery and being a scoffer when he says, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" He's doubting. And the Bible says that he said, Elisha said, "Behold, thou," speaking of this servant, described as a Lord on whose hand the king leaned, the Bible says that thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but notice, but shalt not eat thereof. Really, the interesting aspect of the last part of verse number 2 is that this also is prophetic. And we see that it comes to pass exactly as the man of God said. In verse number 17, it says that he died as the man of God said, who spake when the king came down to him at the end of verse number 17. And he saw that what the man of God said was going to happen came to pass. But he did not partake of it. He did not eat thereof. So I hope this evening that we would be people of faith, that we just believe God, that we would have that measure of faith as Paul did in Acts 27, that we'd stand up and say, "I believe God." It's an interesting passage there in Acts 27. They're dealing with a terrible storm. Euroclydon, in verse number 14 of Acts 27, the Bible tells us that they were tempest and tossed, and I mean they were. I mean it was an exceeding strong storm, and they were wishing for the day. I mean it was just a bad situation. But then here we have where that tells us that they could not bear up. The ship was caught in the wind. It was being driven. It tells us in verse number 20, in Acts 27, at the end of verse number 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. That's a dire circumstance. Acts 27 and verse number 20. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And then Paul comes and he says in verse number 22, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. How are we going to escape this storm? We haven't seen the sun or the moon or the stars in days. There's no hope that we should be saved. And Paul stands up and says, be of good cheer. Not the right message for the moment. Oh, it was absolutely the message that they needed. Because Paul was delivering a message with confidence. He says that there's not going to be any loss of any lives. And then he tells them, I believe God. How's God going to do it? I don't know. He's the master of the sea. He's the one that can... Now, we know because we can read all of Acts 27 and we can see historically what God did. In fact, in 2 Kings chapter number 7, because we're on this side of the history book, we can read the entirety of the text and we know how God did it. But at that very moment, they didn't need to know how. They didn't need to concern themselves with how. They just needed to believe that God said it. In my life, in your life, I don't know what's on tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know all that's going to come to pass. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But I know that my God is on His throne. And I know that He's given me exceeding great and precious promises. And though at times it might seem a level of confusion in my life or in your life, oh, how we come to that place that Paul came to and said, I just believe God. I just believe God. Elisha stands up and says, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, he gives them this prophecy. We see his confidence. We've read the content. There's a level of confusion on the part of this servant of the king. I'm so glad that we serve a God of the impossible. The circumstances can be as bleak as ever, but God's still on the throne. And he will not be defeated. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord God omnipotent. And he has a plan, and his plan will come to pass. I believe God. We look at this prophecy of provision, and we note that there's a great lesson for us and understanding not to be so concerned with the how as much as we are with the who. If God said it, that settles it. Let's believe God. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for thy word. The accounts of history that are recorded for us, not only so that we could have an understanding of these historical events, God, so that we could be challenged in our own walk with Thee, so that we could be helped. Lord, many times throughout the Scriptures we can see where there are people that were too concerned with the how and not as focused on the who. I'm thankful that David knew that You, God, would deliver him from Goliath. Oh, Saul and others wanted to know how. David just believed you. We could see example after example. God, I pray that in our lives today, that you would help us to have faith, to walk by faith, to live by faith, to believe you. We thank you that you're the God of the impossible, that there's nothing too difficult for thee. That you indeed are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, we pray that you would bless our time of prayer this evening. Thank you for the privilege. As those that are gathered here would pray and seek your face, I pray that those that are watching via live stream would spend time together in prayer, seeking your face, seeing God, what you're able to do. We thank you for the privilege. We thank you for your work in our lives, and we pray that we would live in such a way that you alone would be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me just remind you of a few prayer requests.